a little low in the headphones there, Dan. Turn me up in the headphones. Turn me up in the headphones. You know, I miss hip-hop. I miss the hip-hop era. Turn me up in the headphones.
Where's my snare? Where's my snare?
That's a very Eminem-specific reference.
I mean.
Yeah, turn me up in the headphones is a critical era in hip-hop. You know, Dan, I think let's bring that energy back. Let's bring back that feeling, as they say, as hip-hop as we restore the feeling. You know what I'm saying?
If you play a Diddy song. Time to strike a match and light up this juke joint. One by one, you hang them high. Your hands are steady in your sleeping night. How did you turn your heart to stone? I don't want them back, but I can't let go. Hangman, answer me now. You owe me a debt. You stole him from me. Drop some bombs, Dan. When did you imagine Dolly Parton and 808s? She got that water. DA got that dope. Don't act like you don't know.
Giddy up, giddy up. I take it you're. I take it you're really enjoying this new Beyonce.
Yeah. Well, I do declare, my good friend Denise, it is quite an enjoyable listen. I was down there at the OK Corral earlier today. And me and my friends were having so much fun, we knocked out the caboose. You know what I'm saying?
Very nice. Very nice. Holler, 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 all my nigger. Huh? Wait. Sorry. So I'm thinking of this in real time. We didn't plan this specific thing, but I just have to play it. Okay, so do you remember the Key and Peele skit where there's a country song he keeps playing and he insists, nah, it's not racist, man, you're just misunderstanding. I'm gonna play it.
I know, is this good having another brother move into the neighborhood?
Hey man, it's good to have you over, and I think that you will dig this.
All right. Hey.
Huh?
Nice guitar collection.
Oh, thanks, man. Hey, you want to hear something?
You need to
yeah,
some
sure.
Context.
All right. Okay. All right.
So he's showing this man his guitar collection, now playing the guitar.
Well, I'm just a good old American boy with a heart that's red, white, and true. Dreaming of the girl with the red hair and freckles and her eyes like the skies of blue.
Country music.
I grew up in Texas, you know, so.
All right.
Beyonce
keep
land.
Keep her safe from the homies in the wrong side of town where they're smoking the reefer and acting like clowns. Keep that pretty white dress from getting dirty and brown because that's the American way.
Woohoo! Oh, pretty racist song.
Racist against who?
Oh, black people.
Black people, but I'm black.
Well, keeping the redheaded girl away from the homies on the wrong side of town.
Homies? Come on, brother. There's all kinds of homies. You know, you white homies, Asian homies.
No, homies are black.
No, I think you're making them black, man. I mean, that, I think that's your stuff. You hear the twang, and then you assume that it's racist. But that's just what country music is like. Here, look, you're going to like this one. You like this one.
All right.
Some folks wear their hats way off to the side with their pants down low and a gun tucked inside. Take their beer by the 40 and their chicken deep fried. I think we all know who we're talking about. The only dark I like is when I turn off the lights. The only hood I love is pointy and white tan. Trust you if I can't see your face at night. I think we all know who we're talking about.
Wait, hey, stop that. That's racist.
What's what? What is racist about it?
The
what
only is? Hood I love is pointy and white?
Yeah, man.
That's talking about the Klan, man.
The Ku Klux Klan? Are you outside of your mind? That's traditional country music imagery, man. Like a pickup truck or sleeping under the stars.
or your dog got killed, or your wife left you. Same thing.
I would have been fine with any of those things.
What is the difference between those things and what is in the song?
They're not racial.
Hey, you know what? Can I just say something, man? I'm just going to be frank. You're getting a little like Al Sharpton, like Farrakhan on me right now, man.
Oh, my God. Like, oh, are you serious?
Dude, please. Hey, give me, you know, can I do one more? Let me just do one more, dog. I absolutely promise you that this song is not racist, and it's impossible for you to misinterpret it as such.
Okay, it seems like you're about to sing the most racist song so far.
Will it be the most racist song?
Hidey, lidey, lidey, get me a rope and find me a tree.
Okay. Come on, man. Hey. Over here trying to sing about a tire swing. Right off an entire genre of music.
The banjos are strumming and the drums are a-banging. Let's get the boys together and have ourselves a-hanging. Oh, damn. Now I see it.
Anyway, so happy Cowboy Carter to everyone, you know? Cowboy Carter Week. Happy Cowboy Carter Week.
I actually listened to a very fascinating episode of Today Explained, where they had a black writer who's also a black country music artist. And she dedicated her whole life to like documenting black people's influence in country music. And like one of the first country hits was actually a black person, and they didn't want people to know it was a black person. So, and then from Chuck Berry to Ray Charles, there's a whole lineage to it. So I can understand. And she was like, it was weird because she was very excited. Like, she was just like, Beyonce's helping us like reclaim and reignite. But I think she was more so excited because she just released a book about black people's influence in country music.
Oh, yeah. So, and timing.
She's like, oh,
I can retire.
Beyonce, finally. Maybe I'll sell 20,000 copies and just have enough to make rent.
Again, without sounding like too much of a hater, hey, I don't want to rain on anyone's parade. Good music from a good artist. Love it. You know, we're just over here discussing. We're discussing the industry. That's all we're doing. Anyway, Philip, before we get into it, you know, we have to start the podcast properly. Are you
good to go?
Sound of the
Let me hear a drum play.
Oh, so that's how you do it. You've got them in order. Yeah, that would be helpful. That would be helpful. Just tweaking my settings.
This is really loud in my ear, man. Are you right?
Yeah, yours is just as different. It's different to mine. It's different.
Slightly different. Well, I mean, you know. That's okay. You know, it's fine. It's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast. The Two Broke Twimbles are back. We're in the same venue today. We're over by my cabins. My name's Danny, that guy, a.k.a. Danos the Mad Titan, a.k.a. Denford, a.k.a. Denim, be my life, your entertainment, a.k.a. I'm done with these streets. Nothing to worry about. Just a few more days, we have our own brand new currency, Phil. Our financial problems are fixed. A.k.a. Hakuna Mumwendi Danmu.
I'd actually block that out. I'd blocked that out, Dan. And then, wow, thank you. Thank you, Dan.
Very welcome. Very welcome.
After spending the whole day stressing, trying to get Zessa.
I'm just here to spread hope. You know, any message of hope that really gives us something to look forward to, like a new currency.
Yeah.
I'm there.
So I guess we could call you Hope Well. I ain't calling you Daddy though. I know someone who bumped into it at a bar, and she was like, "Yo, for a man that spends a lot of time talking about unfocused youth, he sure does like the unfocused youth." I'll leave it at that.
Nothing definitive was said, and we will continue to argue plausible deniability. So don't say anything. All right. We want to start the podcast with positivity before we get into the mess. So let's take a look at some Africans doing it big. Our producer has really shone the spotlight, Phil, on a lesser known African.
Someone struggling, you know. You know, it's always a great rags to riches story. You know what I mean? When someone comes from the slums, they make it and then they give back. You know what I mean?
The thing is, and we love stories like these because then we get to use them to prove the 2BT bump. We haven't spoken about it in a while. Mm-hmm. But the 2BT bump, if we talk about this person who's clearly struggling at the moment, and then a couple of weeks, months from now, they manage to achieve at least a smidgen of success, then we can let everyone know that, hey, the 2BT bump is clearly a thing.
I think it's clear to say that things for them right now, they're under fire.
Unfortunately, he was unavailable to get onto this podcast to comment. But we're talking about none other than Davido, who has launched a music faculty in Uganda. I don't understand. Anyway.
Also, when you say a music faculty, Krims, we have so many questions. Krims, what's a music faculty? So where in Uganda, like, has he just taken a building and just planted it in the middle of Kampala? Is it attached to a university? Like, which institution is it part of? What are they teaching? Are they teaching theoretical music? Are they teaching music business? Are they teaching contemporary music?
You're worrying about the wrong things. It is in Kampala, first of all, Phil. Mm-hmm. And it is the Faculty of Music and Arts at the International University of East Africa. Mm-hmm. Or EUYA. Just this last week. So he was talking about it on his Instagram account. It's a project that is part of his vision to nurture creative talent while fostering innovation in music, entertainment, and new media. So I didn't know what he was doing.
So many buzzwords.
I just know why he was trending because of an interview he did, and I assume it was to promote this faculty that he had launched, and it was because he was asked about Sudan and South Sudan. Now, Phil, as Mr. Man, who is obviously very well connected to everything that's going on in the world, you would know there's sensitivities there at the moment. So they asked him what his thoughts were, and he was like, there's a South Sudan. And they were like, well, yeah. And then he's like, is there also a North Sudan, West Sudan, and East Sudan? They were like, no. So he says, man, I only know Sudan. And then, as you can imagine, that led to trending.
Yo. When the people of Sudan woke up and the person got the internet for the day and shared the news with everyone else.
Wow. I'm sure they were. Yeah, here you go. No, wait, hold on. This is one of those people explaining things. No, I just want a recording of him on whatever show he was on. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I didn't prepare this beforehand. But anyway. There's a story of Davido there, so very exciting stuff. Yay. And then we also want to shout out to Zimbabwean, who's been doing it big, someone that we've spoken about before, but I just thought to call out again because this week something big happened for her. Rolling Stone UK published a list called The Future of Music.
Okay, you have my attention.
On this list, they described someone who is a star who could well go on to become an indie hero for a new generation of music fans.
Oh, you know, I don't know who this is, but Dan, you know, knowing the 2BT bump, was this Rachel?
It was Rachel.
I knew it. You see, you're welcome, Rachel. You're welcome.
Congratulations to Rachel Chinowuriri, who has been named on the Rolling Stone UK's The Future of Music List. Future of Music List. Sorry, guys. I am on a lot of painkillers right now. Lift.
Even me, we're falling apart at the seams. We are falling apart.
We rallied the last episode, but the complaints are coming.
No, we're pushing P. No, do you know what the problem is, Dan? We went to bed after 10 this weekend, and that's where things fell apart.
I had some sugar as well, so you know. So things are rough. No, I'm in terrible agony because I'm going to the dentist tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I have a terrible ache. Mm-hmm. Weirdly enough, I had scheduled a dental visit before I got the ache. Mm-hmm. So it was going to be the routine cleaning, but now clearly that's going to be.
So, you know, I've also got a problem. You know, I've got a tooth missing. They had to remove it. And then, like, I had to wait for the health insurance to kick back in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I've been toothless for a while. And now
you have been toothless for a while. So all bark, no bite is how I would describe you. And now it makes sense.
And so would my lady. But so yeah, I know what you're dealing with, and I can relate. So if anyone wants to help, help without dental issues, you know what?
We need our mouths to talk and to do a podcast.
Actually, you know what? As our 10th anniversary comes, you know, before I forget, let me actually bring it up now. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Charmaine. We're going to get the bottle. I just need to transfer the money in. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We were sent a substantial amount of money, Dan. She says she wants us to get some Glenmorangie.
Look, I saw the money that was sent. I think we're looking at a 12 or a 14. I was hoping we could be aiming for a, you know, 18, maybe a limited edition.
You know what I mean? But it's fitting because she said 10 year whiskey to mask 10 years. Do you know what also is aged for 10 years, Dan? Jameson Black Barrel. I think we might just...
Yeah, you want to be advertising them right now. Okay, all right.
No, not that.
You know what's happening tomorrow. Anyway, we've got work to do. And we've got...
Oh, yes,
we discussions do. To have.
Oh, yes.
You might come out of that meeting with different ideas.
So she sent this lovely message. Like, we had a little back and forth. She was like, yo, I want to help you guys celebrate. So she sent the money for the Glenmorangie. I'm not even familiar with this whiskey, but apparently it comes highly recommended. So, and I'm all for trying new things, especially when I'm not paying for them. If I'm not paying for it, I'll try anything, you know?
So, okay, I'm not a whiskey connoisseur, but I'm beginning to dip my toes in, you know? A lot of what I might be hearing may come across in the accent of Fuzz, but...
Because you're just copying and pasting.
You see, So these are premium commercial whiskeys, right? Mm. Real whiskey connoisseurs want to go to the actual distilleries and not the commercial Glenmorangies, Glenlivets, et cetera, even though they make good whiskeys. You know, when you're really like into it, you're not going to go for the commercial stuff. But anyway, while we're playing in the realm of commercial whiskeys, Glenmorangie is viewed as one of the premium ones. And I'm 50-50 about it. Like, it's obviously better than, I don't know, Two Keys, but it's just, it's not. Glenlivet, on the other hand, ooh, smooth, love it. Mm, mm.
Mm. But does it mix well with
you're baiting me, that's the problem. No, it's fine, it's all right, it's okay.
I wonder, like, if she'll hear this and just comment. No.
Does it mix with coke?
So many inside jokes, sorry. But anyway, here's the message that we received. I don't want to get back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is the part. You just realized I had to do something while I was sat in the train laughing by myself like a crazy person when I listened to the Big Me episode. And I remembered how you guys have carried me through the times. The times is all caps, by the way. Times. Especially during the panoramic. I could not do anything then. Gotta do something now. So, you know what? Messages like that really
beautiful stuff.
Warm the cockles of my heart, and I'm sure Dan's as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we may as well take this opportunity to get into our any follow up from the last episode, because we got a lot of good feedback, mm-hmm. from the last episode, mm-hmm. and we want to thank you very much.
We had a raging, like, literally the debate was raging. I actually had to close. I'd be like, okay, it's enough now. We have to stop the debate. We had a lovely back and forth. There were two factions in our Patreon group, as is the case. There was the, I'm not sure if it was the pro Kendrick or just anti Drake faction and the Drake faction. You know what? I love our patrons. I love them to death. I love them to death. But kaneka hypnosis ka, I don't know. It's like my talking points. Am I Drake fans? Like, they, I don't understand. Like, is there a booklet y'all get? Like, like, after the third album, like, do you get a pamphlet that just tells you, when in doubt, always revert back to Billboard sales? Like, is that?
So, okay, if you're wondering what we're talking about in our last episode, we made reference to the ongoing beef that was reignited by Kendrick Lamar's verse on Future and Metro Boomin's project, where one of the things he said is, forget about the big three, family language, of course, it's just Big Me, obviously calling out Drake and J. Cole. So that has sparked a debate, and people are ripping their faves as to who is the top of the big three.
Mm.
Now, obviously, music is subjective. Everyone will like something different. But this is the beauty of hip hop, man. We all get our points and then fight for our one. I didn't listen to Jay-Z for years because I was standing Nas. I missed out on a lot of good music. I wish I hadn't done that. But nah, I was there to rep my fave.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, I mean, I went back and listened, but it's, you know, it's different when you hear it in the moment, you know, it's. But anyway, my point is, it's normal to rep your faith. So listen, this is no shade to anyone. You can rep your faith, but guys, anyone can agree that you have to have at least some level of commercial success for you to be discussed about in a heavyweight discussion. You can't be a heavyweight if you've only sold 500 copies. Completely agreed. We don't know what that cutoff is, but surely you should be in platinum discussions for us to be even discussing heavyweight, right? So no one is saying commercial success doesn't matter. What everyone else is saying, except for you, Tawe, is commercial success is not the most important factor. It is a factor, and it's weighted. If you have 100 points, let's say commercial success gives you 20 out of the 100, just for argument's sake. Gives you 20 out of the 100. How much does storytelling give you? Or how much does rhyme scheme, breath work, metaphors, all of that?
It is all weighted, and Dan is very correct, but also we need to separate the two things, right? There's the general barbershop discussion,
yes,
which is, hey guys, who's the better MC? Blah, blah, or blah, blah. And then commercial success becomes a key element. It's an actual talking point in it. Now, if you've been firing shots, this is now Drake. If you've been firing shots subliminally, as I predicted, there's that channel called What's the Dirt. This man went back through 9 years of songs where Drake has been shooting at Kendrick. And Kendrick has been shooting back little soft jabs. Little, and the escalation of those jabs. And now you directly reference him in a song. Well, two songs actually, because the song you did, the last timestamp song that he did with that Adonis did the first four bars on, which is, anyway, let me not speak about a child, but that last timestamp song that Drake did was
Team Northwest.
Yeah, was also a shot at Kendrick. You've been shooting at him, and now he shoots back at you. Commercial success falls away because it's now mano a mano. That's like two boxers going into the ring, and before the fight even gets to round three, the judge is calling like, no, wait a minute, guys. We've just checked. Mike Tyson has $60 million in earnings. Buster Douglas has $500,000. Clearly, we have a winner. It's Mike. No, we are now fighting.
Okay, fair enough. I hear you. And I actually saw that. I saw these points that were coming out. You were saying this, and I think Mukudze was also saying this in the group, that this is now battle rap time, all right? Mm. We are no longer talking about...
Because now we've engaged battle rap. You shot at him, he shot back.
So we're now in the ring battle rap. And I hear you. But before Drake has responded officially, our conversation at the moment is who's top of the big three. That's what the conversation is. By the end of the battles, then the debate will be who actually won the fight.
But I think that also goes back to I think maybe because we're having it on WhatsApp, I thought it best to bring it to the podcast is there's a differentiation between, once again, speculation. We can pick our faves, right? I'll be like, hey, my favorite is so-and-so because of A, B, C, D, E.
Excuse me.
No, it's fine. It's ambiance. Dan is about to abuse a dog. SPCA. SPCA. If you're listening, SPCA.
Anyway, please step in. Continue.
So, once again, there is the barbershop level of discussion, which is just general debate. If someone starts shooting, you know what? My favorite artist is Kendrick. I'm really hyped about Kendrick.
That's not it. Favorite. The best.
Yeah. Let's say Kendrick is the best, right? And now you start looking back, and then now you're counting points, right? When you are counting points as the best, success cannot be a metric because success is indicative of who had the better budgets, who was marketed the best, and to a certain degree, yes, who writes the best songs, definitely. But it can't be everything because these are rappers, not pop acts. And the conversation that I was trying to have with Tawe and other people in the group is in hip hop, there's certain criterion that we've used in hip hop. Billboard is not something we wait in hip hop because we are not pop acts. And if you guys are saying Drake is so successful as a hip hop act, he's a pop act, but he's battling a hip-hop act, it has to be within the confines of hip-hop. These guys were not dissing each other on the back of a Dua Lipa song. Had that been the case, maybe. You know what I mean? Had it been Dua Lipa and a Tay-Tay song, maybe. But this is hip-hop.
Not even. So even like what you're saying, Phil, commercial success is a factor of many things. It's a factor of marketing. It's a factor of labels. It's a factor, yes, of the talent of the person himself as well. But also another thing that it's a factor of is general taste.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the biggest consumers of music in the world? Just
K-pop fans.
I mean, demographics wise, right? Age wise.
Biggest demographic? Well, it's white girls.
White girls. Teenagers, probably. Mm-hmm. White teenage girls are the biggest consumer of music.
Well, paying consumers, but yes.
Paying consumers, yes. Yeah, that's what I mean. Since that's what we're counting, counting commercial success. So if you tell me Drake is more popular with white teenage girls than Kendrick is, are you sure that's the hill you want to stand on when we're discussing who's a greater rapper? So don't get us wrong. We're not saying commercial success doesn't matter. We're saying it's one of the things that matters, but because it's not the only thing that matters, we have to consider other things. So out of a score of 100, if Drake gets 20 and Kendrick gets 15 because of their sales, let's now count the other stuff. Drake is 2015. Let's now count the other stuff, and then we come to a total score out of 100. Okay.
Yeah, and I think, I'm trying to pause my words so that I'm thinking. I think sometimes you and I, Dan, and maybe other music nerds, we take it for granted. I think it's the same with like comic book culture and everything else. Like, there are a lot of people who are simply passive,
casual. Just, you know, casual, I mean, consumers.
Like, yeah, literally the song that plays on the radio. Oh, I know. Oh, that's Taylor Swift. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, they'll know maybe one or two songs. They'll listen to music. They won't, like, they're not going to be buying the album, digging into the liner notes, seeing who wrote and produced this. That's what.
Or they may be doing that for a different genre. They could be country fans, but like, yeah, hip hop kind of hits hard.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's what it's the same thing with, and it's even become an annoying thing in the household where, yesterday we watched Dune 2. And on the way back, I was like, now that we've watched Dune, what are we doing when we get home? And she's like, we're gonna watch the recap analysis. And I was
like, sounds like my wife. She's like, you're gonna watch Eric Voss now, aren't you?
See, but that's come with the training. You see, we have to train them. Training is key. And that's the thing. So applying that to hip hop, we do the same thing. I do not doubt Drake's pen. In fact, and I've said it on this podcast many a time, if someone's been listening to this podcast for all the years we've been on, you might even remember there was a time when Drake did back-to-back. We did an emergency pod. First time ever. Like, middle of the day, Dan and I were like, I know, we have to speak about this. This is exciting. This is great. You know?
In fact, just on that, Phil, before you move on from that point, we are talking about the top three, the current top three, the big three. So we've already passed the stage of, are they good artists or not? Can they rap or not? Are they good at writing or not? Are they good at... We've passed that conversation. We're talking about the top three. It's like when we're having a debate about Messi or Ronaldo. Or who's the third? Neymar. I don't know.
Mbappe.
We've already passed the conversation of, are they good footballers? No one will legit... If in the debate, no one can come and say Messi sucks. If you're a fan of Ronaldo, you know Messi doesn't suck. You're just trying to say Ronaldo's better. Messi is better than everyone else, but Ronaldo's better. That's what someone's thinking. Or someone else is thinking, nah, I can't come and say, but Ronaldo doesn't know how to pass. That's not true. Ronaldo knows how to pass better than most footballers.
But I think the problem is conversation has been reduced to hyperbole.
Yes. So that's the point I'm trying to make. That so now that we're talking in the realm of big three, we've passed the 90% of all other things. So when we say Ningi is whack, we're only talking in comparison. Overall, of course he's not whack. If you hear me say Drake is whack, it's not because I think Drake is whack. Drake is already in the top three of, you know, arguably of the current discussion. That doesn't mean I think he's whack. I just mean in comparison of the top three. Same if you say about Kendrick, same whatever in the debate. So I also wanted to put that out there because people now say, remember when he did this? Yes, we've already passed that. The question is now that we're in that pinnacle, in that discussion, does he reach top? And I mean, guys, come on, guys.
And the thing that I also think that I wanted to question is there are people who come out and like, man, this is what we do. What's wrong with our people? You know what I mean? You don't see country artists doing this. You don't see rock artists doing this. You guys don't understand. They do it. They just don't do it on music. They do it in person. They kill each other.
No,
I'm actually serious. Country artists kill each other.
Okay, but, fine, but that's not that common. It's an ingredient of hip hop, man.
And that's the point I'm getting to. Like, this is an essential part of hip hop, and that's where my biggest gripe is, because Drake as a brand, and how for Drake to reach the level of popularity he has, he had to, as a brand and his team and the people behind him and his label, had to transition him from just being a rapper to being a pop act. The problem with that is you dilute your audience and you dilute the cultural significance of your music to your audience. Because now it's not just a rap act, it's a pop act.
Mm.
So when people found out that Drake was getting reference songs and hooks written for him, it was a big hullabaloo in the hip-hop community. Everyone else was like, yeah, so what, big deal? Yeah. Well, I don't get it. Like, everyone, like, people do that, right? Like, I know other people write other people's songs, because once again, Drake was no longer strictly a hip hop act. He was a pop act. But the problem with that is Drake's fan base and Drake's ego, brand, whatever you want to put it, is you still dabble in hip hop. You still rely on hip hop to give you the cultural cachet and credibility to sell as a pop act. And then when you do hip hop records, like your follow up for My Dogs, that was just hip hop songs that flopped, whether you're doing it deliberately or not, because there wasn't the marketing push behind that project, behind After Hours, as there was for everything else, you don't give hip hop, or I don't feel he gives his hip hop music the push that it would deserve. Like, if Drake marketed and pushed his hip-hop stuff as much as he did anything else, it would move. Perfect example is Her Loss. That was a hip-hop album. Granted, there were a lot of catchy lines thrown in there and hits, but that was a hip-hop album, and it did very well for Drake. So he can do it. I just don't know why he doesn't choose to.
Why is J. Cole not in these conversations?
But he is. He's up there. No, and I think J. Cole is not in these conversations because his first three efforts were so disappointing. There's still a stain.
You
ain't the shit. You're not even a fart. Like, those lines. Like, they still haunt him.
Isn't that Ice Spice? Okay, but, so actually, after last week, when you mentioned how you loved Friday Night Lights, That's part of the reason why I subscribe to YouTube Music, because you can't find those mixtapes on any of the DSPs, but it's there on YouTube Music. So I listen to Friday Night Lights. I listen to the warm-up,
mm-hmm.
of which the warm-up was mine. That was my
There was the come-up, the warm-up, then Friday Night Lights.
Man, dude was nice, man.
And then
J. Cole was nice.
And then ironically, he gave into the pressures of commercialism on his debut.
So
Born Sinner.
We kind of alluded it towards it. I mean, we kind of alluded it to it on our last podcast, but I think also there's an element of preference, right? Drake is well known for his type of rap is very, it's similes. It's punchlines, right? That's his thing. The one-liner. Whereas Kendrick is more well known for a poetic style. A more poet, like a full poem type of rap. Just these are very broad strokes, obviously. But my point is, sometimes you'll prefer one to the other.
And it's funny because Drake, it's a bit of a diversion, but Drake's style is a direct son or direct offshoot of Lil Wayne, Fonte, and the Clips.
Mm. And I also went back and listened to some of Lil Wayne's stuff, man. Look, a lot of this stuff hasn't aged well, eh?
Mm.
No. Full on Diddy situation brags. You know what I'm saying?
Dan, you know,
I'm just saying.
You know, I realized a while ago, there's a Lock song. I'm not going to give you the name, but the hook of the song is a slur that we can't say anymore. That's the hook. So I think sometimes we just got to
different
go.
Different time.
We're talking about some old Biggie lyrics.
Yeah. You know, just before we started recording, old Biggie lyric that everyone's talking about that right now because of Diddy, and maybe we can transition into that. Oh yeah, by the way, so on this Drake debate, please bring your ammo. Bring your ammo. We've accepted commercial success. Agreed. But surely you know it's not the only thing to consider.
No, but I think at this point.
Yes, I know you're thinking battle rap, Phil, but at such, we don't have the blows yet. We're still at the hype up stage. We're still at, the first punch has been thrown, you know?
I think it gets worse because, I don't know, I shared it in the group, but I couldn't stop laughing. This was hilarious. Dan, I don't know if you remember. Let me give you context. So Drake likes to befriend athletes. There's an older gentleman, very successful, slightly older than Drake actually, but he calls him Big Bro. Some might argue one of the best basketball players to ever grace the court. I would say that. That's one LeBron James. When LeBron won championships in Miami, Drake was there in the club celebrating with him. Drake has been seen out and about with LeBron many a time, many a birthday party, many a soiree, many a shindig. So much so that the last time Drake was in a high stakes battle with Pusha T, if you recall, someone had to step in and be like, nope, this battle is over. There's too much money to lose. And people just had to, you know, go back to their respective corners. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention this man's name because I'm scared of him. And he held some weight. And I think people forget just how much weight this man holds. What I'll say is the last time his family was involved in the news is when Takeoff died. Anyway, let's move on. So, you remember, they were told to stop. Mm-hmm. However, Drake still had to get his side of the story out some way, somehow. And he decided, you know, the best way to do this is I need to go on The Shop, which is a show produced and sometimes hosted by LeBron James and his business partner, Maverick Carter, where they invite several guests to a fake barbershop where people get fake haircuts and they have discussions.
That was unnecessary, but okay.
No, it's hilarious because once you realize it's a fake haircut, it's hilarious. Because like, why is like the barber comes and wraps the apron around him and he's just... Like, he's not doing anything.
It's the aesthetics. It's like carpool karaoke.
No, but you know what I'd appreciate more? It would make more sense to me. Yeah, like, the barbershop is already a dope set. Just have the barbershop.
No. You have to control the environment.
Just have people sitting in the barbershop chairs having a discussion like they're at the barbershop. They don't need to have a fake haircut. Anyway. So, during that conversation, Drake gave his side of the story and he basically amounted to, are you disappointed when you meet LeBron? And LeBron was like, no, you did good. And there was a lot of memes around it. You know, it was hilarious. But basically, Drake went to apologize to his father figure, LeBron, for letting him down. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of years have passed. And just last night, Dan, LeBron put on a show, scored 40 points, 9 three-pointers at 39 years of age. Record-breaking performance. And then a video of the warm-up came out on the interwebs.
J. Cole's mixtape.
What'd you?
Video of J. Cole's mixtape. What?
No. I said LeBron was warming up.
You see the video of the warm up. Sorry.
You're an idiot. So LeBron is warming up for the game. No J. Cole. And there's a song playing through the PA of the arena. And LeBron has already taken the time to learn the words, word for word. And he made sure that people knew that he knew the words, word for word. And that was Kendrick's verse. Friday at Drake. Which I just...
That must hurt. It's been a rough week for Drake. It's been a rough couple of months, actually. Drake has responded somewhat.
Well, all he does is post memes and give inspirational talks at concerts. Blaz, what is this? Huh?
A lot of people ask me how I'm feeling. I'm going to let you know how I'm feeling. Listen, the way I'm feeling is the same way I want you to walk out of here feeling tonight about yourself. Because you know how I'm feeling? I got my head up high, my back straight, I'm 10 fucking toes down in Florida or anywhere else I go, and I know that no matter what, it's not a nigga on this earth that can ever fuck me in my life. And that's how I want you to walk out of here tonight.
You tell him, Drake. Sound like a proud black woman.
You go, girl. Now, the, put you first.
The comment says, Drake definitely practiced that in the mirror first.
Affirmations, my king.
No.
I mean, we don't mean to make fun of doing that. You got to do that. But you only do that when you're against the ropes, you know? Life is not lifing.
No, but there was an interesting comment. Granted, the source is suspect, but it did get me to thinking. And it was like, Drake has undoubtedly, like right now, currently, the most lucrative recording contract in the game. He's the most valuable artist in the game on the most valuable label in the game. He's, I think, he can call Lucian Grange any time of the day and he'll pick up. Knowing all that.
Well, I mean, maybe not now.
No, I think so. I think so still. So, and obviously, now people are unearthing the back and forths that have been happening between Future and Drake. What would Pluto do? Was a subliminal shot at Future? It hasn't been confirmed, but it seems pretty, there's a pretty strong case to say that Drake was sleeping with women who had relations with both Metro and Future. The music industry is small. The baddie community is small. Possible, right? The nature of those relationships is dubious, but Drake has built a bit of a reputation of being a dirty macker. Not only on wax, but in real life. How many times have we seen Drake respond to someone on social media and say, oh, that's your girl? I bet. Or remember that man whose wife was a singer? And she got flown out to Toronto, and he was having a meltdown on social media. Well, Drake,
some things you take to the grave, man. You don't got why you gotta anyway. Yeah.
So there's just a certain way Drake moves that is, I wouldn't move that way. Let me put it that way. You know, it looks funny.
You don't know Phil until you have that level of money and access. Nah. But let's see anyway. But go on.
I think maybe 10 years ago, yeah, Dan. I think Drake and I are the same age. I've lived a tenth of the life Drake has. Ndabo. You know what I mean? I've realized, like, it's impossible. It's literally impossible to finish this. It's a fool's errand. You just don't have the bandwidth. You just don't have I don't get it. So there's that. You're moving shady. Rick Ross has unfollowed you, which is very catty, but still hilarious. And it feels like a few people who've had ongoing issues with Drake are now starting to pile up. And if they were to coalesce and come together, I think it would be a tough day for Drake. Because keep in mind, Meg had also a diss about him.
Mm. I mean, he started.
Mm-hmm. But you see what I'm saying? So...
Okay,
it could be a very long summer. My point being with all this was, where I was getting with is, Drake has built this reputation where he's somewhat accessible, but he's not, right? And I, for the life of me, I still can't understand, because of his level of success, if he was able to remove pretty much any evidence that his baby mom's was an adult film star, and she was. There were many scenes of her on multiple websites, large websites, that you cannot find easily. Unless you are a real weirdo and you're willing to dig through the depths of Reddit and 4chan and whatnot. Like, those clips are impossible to find, right? And that was years ago, before he signed this deal. Why was this all over Twitter? Like, you know what I mean?
I forgot that happened. Okay, I've got a question for you though, Phil.
No, but wait, let's not just go past that. Like, think about it. Like, have you thought about it?
I would rather not.
No, but no. If you're beefing with someone who was your cohort, someone who was your, like, you and I are beefing. You and I start beefing. And we're beefing over a girl, or maybe girls, whatever, right? And we're now throwing shots at each other because of women.
Mm.
Is it a stretch to say that in some way, you're just like, my guy, this is what I'm working with. You know what I mean?
That's so lame, though. That's so corny.
But is that not Drake's whole MO?
I suppose that is his vibe. No, this is the question I was going to ask regarding beef. Okay, so obviously from a fan debate perspective and from a ooh snap and all of that perspective, right? Completely understand beef. I mean, from an industry and success perspective, does this harm Drake in any way?
Yes and no.
From an ego perspective, I understand. From all of that, maybe even like people look at you funny, I understand. But will he sell less tickets? Will he get like less streaming? Will he?
If we look at his historical data, and I think some of it has, maybe it's been hubris, maybe it's been artistic expression, whatever. But Drake's last four projects have been in declining sales, partly because he's not promoting them where he does, but also because he's been experimenting with different sounds. What Drake has been doing, which
I think there's another reason on top of that.
But also keep in mind, remember Drake had stomach issues last tour. The tour before that, he had a busted knee.
Mm.
On both occasions, he went back on the road very quickly. Almost like he's got a quota to reach. And when you couple that with the fact that he signed this new deal, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that he's been locked into a deal where, and now we're getting a little nerdy, but it's very pertinent to this. Live revenue, live show revenue in the past 4 years has been skyrocketing. So record labels are now using music as just a platform to get people to concerts because we can make more money at the concerts. Not only with the whole Ticketmaster upselling, like willing buy, willing seller thing, because a lot of those tickets on the gray and black market are being controlled by the artists or the labels, but also merch, tour merch, very big thing. Exclusive packages and bundles, very profitable. So I can see and understand how that would tie in. And I think that may affect it because with all of these, Drake is not hopping on his own. First, it was a tour with Future, then 21 Savage. Now he's doing with Lil Durk. Oh, and then he had J. Cole for a couple of dates as well. Which is also interesting. At his level, surely Drake can be a solo headline act. Surely, right?
No, but Phil, no one's hot forever. No one. Not even exactly. Not even any of your favoritest you ever had. They're never going to be hot forever.
That isn't.
So Drake has had a solid decade and a half. At least a decade of being at the top of the game.
2008. So far gone was 2008, 2009, right?
Yeah. I think it was 2008.
Yeah, so yeah.
So decade and a half and being at the pinnacle, the number one undisputed in the game, almost a full decade. Mm. So he's had a solid run. Obviously, it's gonna peak and it's gonna start, declining a little bit. I also don't think it's a very easy directly proportional relationship between sales and concerts. Some people sell well, but just don't sell concerts and vice versa. Other people are touring. But
the latter is more valuable. And that's the point. Like sales, that's another thing which is very ironic that a lot of people ignore is sales don't really mean much. How many tickets you sell mean much. Perfect example of this is Nicki Minaj. Whenever Nicki drops, she always goes into a hissy fit about going number one, blah, blah, blah. They're not trying to get me on number one, blah, blah. People forget Nicki has canceled. Now, the tour that she's currently on now was canceled 2 times before over the past 2 years.
Hmm.
So selling is easy, relatively speaking. Tickets, that's another killer fish.
I always wonder, for example, when they said 50 killed Ja Rule's career. I always wondered how did it work? Because did people stop streaming Ja Rule or not streaming, stop buying Ja Rule because 50 had dissed him? Obviously not.
We lived in a time then, and to a certain degree we still do now, where in hip hop, a lot of what made you an A-lister was your story and your credibility and how marketable they were, how sellable you were. DMX, he went to number one because he was the most rugged, raw, raunchy, you know what I mean? Rough around the edges. Like, he was rapping about some of the most egregious things and he would speak about the most egregious crimes that he committed, but he was relatable because of that, right? 50 Cent, shot 9 times. That was, remember 2003? That's all we knew.
Mm.
Yo,
this guy got shot 9 times. Oh, snap. He must be real. He must be from the streets. He's really rapping about what he's seen. You know what I mean? That was the thing. I think to a certain degree, that is less now.
I do understand that, Phil. But I'm saying a person at that time, how would Ja Rule's success have been measured? It would have been measured by, obviously, spins on TRL or whatever. Sales of his CD concerts.
I think radio spins were definitely, yeah. And back then, radio controlled a lot.
So radio, TV, sales of CDs and concerts. Now, of those four, were any of those significantly hurt by losing a beef?
Radio.
So radio, okay, radio-wise, would I then say, nah, I'm not going to play this song because
he lost the beef? Because keep in mind, there was a lot less radio, and you'd understand this more, but like back then, radio was supported by the Fanatics, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, everyone was.
But for someone to listen to a song or to have a call to action to like phone in to request a song, for someone to take the time out of the day, stop the car. They might have been at home. Some people would literally go to payphones, put whatever coins they had in the payphone, dial the number, be on hold for X amount of minutes, finally get through to the disc jockey. Oh my God, can you please play this? The reverse with Ja Rule would happen where people start playing Ja Rule and people would phone him like, yo, that guy's whack. He's losing the battle. He's lost the battle. Nah. And all it takes, I'm sure you can even relate to this, all it takes is a few calls during your peak radio show for you to start hitting the alarm bells and like, guys, okay, our listeners aren't resonating with Ja Rule anymore. Stop playing Ja Rule. Stop playing thing. And the second thing that would happen is it was in the clubs. Ja Rule songs would come on and people would sit down. Remember when Gunna was going through his namos? There was that video.
When they thought he was a snitch.
Yeah. And people were trying to cast aspersions on his name. And they're like, yo, Gunna's not even getting play in Atlanta. And there was that video of his song playing. And these people were going to sit down. And they were like, okay, this is a death knell for his career. Luckily, Gunna has pulled the rabbit out of that. Also has a great song in the Metro Boomin album. But
also has a great song with Tyla on her album.
Oh, that's a banger, that one.
Banger.
Boom, 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 boom. Pretty girl from Japan.
Fire.
So
guess that's what they prefer. Prefer.
You really know this album very well, then.
It was twice through. Once by myself and once with the missus.
On Saturday, a Tyler song came on and I saw Dan got very excited.
I got excited. Were you not singing loudly along?
I don't know that song like that.
Na-ni-na-ya. You guys were living your best lives. Anyway, yeah.
Point being, I think that's what thing like.
It's Ja Rule, just something I've always wondered. Like, I know it happened, but I know like what actually for you to say 50 killed Ningi's career or Ningi killed Ningi. Like,
I think ultimately the biggest dominant is public sentiment. At the moment, tastemakers, influencers, the people that control what people think, start believing that you're not it anymore. They're going to express it overtly or subliminally.
But do you think you're not it anymore, or do you think you lost the battle?
No, you're always the last to know. Artists are always the last to know.
I mean, like the tastemaker. So, for example, in this situation now, okay, to me, I see a lot of comparisons 50 and Ja Rule with Drake and Kendrick, in the sense that, man, Ja Rule was one of the first to be almost making hard hip hop, but for the girls. That seemed to be his vibe, you know, and he alluded to it when he did his whole versus battle, and 50 Cent was clearly making music for the guys, for the fellas, the G's who were in a unit. And I can't imagine that someone, if something is a bop, it sounds good, it makes you want to dance, you're like, oh no, but he lost the battle. But that's clearly what happened. That's what happened. So I'm wondering now if Drake clearly makes stuff that people dance to, ooh, the Instagram captions or what. I wonder if it will translate. Like you said, it's not the same as it was, but there might be some translation of, nah, but that Kendrick though. Because Kendrick has got some of the baddies. Once Drake loses the baddies, what's he got left? Just Tawe. That's all he's got left. Yeah. Okay, anyway, listen. We're still gonna keep talking about music, but we're gonna get into our main talking points. This is us just following up on what we spoke about last week. Let me see. We have our Patreon subscribers who are voting for what we should talk about this week. By the way, if you'd like to have this power, the power to control our speech, twobroketwimbles.com/donate, and you can sign up to be a Patreon subscriber. Okay.
What's this last point? What the hell? I'm not going to put it on mic, but what the hell is this last point?
I hope it's not supposed to be secret info. She posted on her Instagram, though. Anyway, and we're not going to mention names. So let's start off with this story between Pharrell Williams and Chad Hugo over the name of the songwriting duo, The Neptunes. So if you're wondering what's going on, Pharrell Williams and Chad Hugo together formed The Neptunes, and they wrote a lot of music and, you know, did production work, et cetera, et cetera. Hugo has accused Williams of fraudulently seeking sole control over the trademark name, The Neptunes. Before Pharrell was a star, The Neptunes produced a slew of radio hits in the early 2000s, and they were inducted as a duo into the Songwriters Hall of Fame back in 2022. So clearly a big deal. But Hugo has now filed legal action accusing Pharrell and his company of attempting to unilaterally register trademarks for the Neptunes name, which he says violates their longstanding agreement that saw the pair split everything equally. Which is, it's shame. It's so sad because the Neptunes is famous, but I only know it because of Pharrell.
What?
And most people only know the Neptunes because of Pharrell.
I hate you so much.
Phil, in terms of impact in just general people's knowledge, most people know Pharrell. But at the same time, you know, you guys started it together and you agreed 50-50. I don't understand why. So just in reading this whole story, I don't understand why, and I hope, and I don't hope this, but I assume Chad already reached out to Pharrell and was like, yo, I understand you're trying to register this. I thought we agreed that we're going to do this as a duo. And then he got blue ticked. That's the only reason that I would assume obviously, this would go. Yeah.
But keep in mind, Chad has never really been for the public light, right? But he has been a lot more reclusive as of late.
Pharrell put out a statement. Or a rep for Pharrell says, Pharrell is surprised by this. We have reached out on multiple occasions to share in the ownership and administration of the trademark and will continue to make that offer. The goal here was to make sure a third party doesn't get a hold of the trademark and guarantee Chad and Pharrell share in ownership and administration. Now, obviously, this is PR, but to me, that makes sense. Like, we can't just leave it unregistered. So if they're saying we already reached out to him to say it and he didn't, you know, he didn't do anything, we just want to make sure it's registered so someone else doesn't claim any kind of profits on that. And I mean,
but that doesn't make sense to me because Chad and Pharrell have a company called Star Trek. So wouldn't Star Trek do that?
Okay. But if Pharrell has reached out to Chad to say, hey, no, we need to register this.
They have a company.
I understand. But would Pharrell make that decision unilaterally? If they have a company, surely that decision would be made together and then that company.
But Dan, if you and I have a company, right?
Yes.
Let's say 2BT.
Yes.
Right. And I go off into the wilderness for 2 years.
Yes.
Right. And you need to register 2BT as a trademark.
Yes.
And a copyright. And you do so via our company, 2BT.
Mm-hmm.
Would, if I came back, ask me, would I have a problem with that?
Probably not. But would we both not be needed to do that? Would that decision not be done with the two of us? Could I make that decision unilaterally? It's our company and our product and our brand. And then I go registered.
So then now, the flip side is, I disappear. You have your own company, Dennis Incorporated. And then you register 2BT to Dennis Incorporated. And then I come back. How would I feel?
I mean, that's obviously shady. But if there is, as they claim, if there is correspondence, when I say, yo, I want us to register this company. Yo, you're not getting back at me. I want us to register this company. Yo, listen, we need to register this trademark. And then you don't respond.
But then now, my question is, that story doesn't make sense because if I am not responding to communication about registration of the copyright, why would I then jump from that to going straight to the courts and saying this person registered without my consent? Because surely then when I finally do respond, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Let's register in our name. we're not being told the full story.
That's what Chad Hugo's lawyer said. Anzi Farrell's intent was to include Chad in the filing. He should have registered in the name of them jointly or as a partnership and not in his own name. This was a land grab and a long simmering dispute that has yet to be resolved, which I find very interesting that this is a long simmering dispute.
Which, if you've been a fan of the Neptunes, makes sense because they've at least 6 years. They came back together for a bit like 2 years ago. Chad was finally seen, and I think he was on Nigo's project. Obviously, Nigo was the founder of Babe, very, very popular because...
ice creams.
Chad and Pharrell brought Babe into the pop culture, and that's also the album where we got the first sighting of No Malice, if you remember. I think we even played it on the podcast, but I think that was the first time we'd heard from Chad in a long time, so... yeah. It's disappointing. First the Fat Boys break up. Now every day I wake up. You know what I mean?
So yeah. So Chad's team say that yes, they did reach out, but they insisted on onerous business terms that would deprive Hugo of proper control and compensation. So obviously, yeah. Okay. You know what? Without having read the full thing, I must say Pharrell does look a bit shady in this. Shame, man. The Neptunes. It's not beautiful. Not at all. Oh.
It's poor.
All right, let's move on.
Wait, let's not just do that. What's your favorite Neptunes beat?
My favorite Neptunes beat is
Crims are gonna have fun with this. Let's go.
Okay. You pick one, I pick one. And then the listeners must decide which one's the better one. Actually, I know which one to go.
Who's going first?
You go first, because do you have yours ready? I know which song.
Okay, you go first since you're excited.
Okay. Let me use YouTube since I will have no. Hold on.
We're bringing back verses, by the way, guys.
We didn't prepare this, otherwise we normally would have had it here. It's
Dan is looking to the ceiling for inspiration. He's losing already. He's lost this battle. Dan doesn't know the deep cuts.
The problem is you want to go for deep cuts. You know
Dan
what I'm saying?
Dan doesn't know the bad. I got all the Neptunes jams.
No. Philip. It doesn't have to be. Hold on.
You still
okay? Play yours.
Nah, you still say
play yours.
No,
Philip.
No.
If you've got yours
no,
ready,
no, I'm not giving you time. I'm not giving you time because then you'll change. You're called an audible. I don't trust you.
Play. No, man. okay. All right. Okay, let's do this. I was going to play a Snoop joint, but...
Yo. I go by the name of Pharrell from the Neptunes. And I just want to let y'all know
I'm your pusher.
The world is about to feel something that they never felt before. Come on.
From ghetto to ghetto, the backyard to yard, I sell it whip on whip, it's off the hard, I'm the neighborhood pusher, call me subwoofer, cause I pump bass like that jack, on or off the track, I'm heavy cuz, ball to your father, shoot the duck to the Fetty Gov, sorry my love, but I'm seeing through these eyes, Benz convoys with the wagon on the side, only big boys keep deuces on the ride, Gucci Chuck Taylor with the dragon on the side. Man, I make a buck while I scram. I'm trying to show y'all who the fuck I am. The Jews is flirting. Be damned if I'm hurting. Legend in two games.
Like Pee Wee Kirkland.
Platinum on the block with consistent hits. While Pharrell keep talking this music.
Hey.
Are you done?
To be fair, the Neptune's best song is probably Drop It Like It's Hot. But. This is a fire beat. Anyway, yeah, let's see.
I'm actually waiting on the boss now. Yeah, he says that we have some kind of special assignment or something. He's supposed to be calling me like any minute now. Hold on. Let me get the phone. Philippines. He has a mansion? Okay, we're on it. We're on it right now. Bye.
Run laps around the English Channel. Neptune's, I got a cocker spaniel. We on the run now, you know it ain't no fun now. And where I go, yo, niggas can't even come now. You ain't the law, nigga, break it. I don't care, but when you get caught, remember that. I don't care, N-R-E, blood throughout the atmosphere. I mean, now we on the run, yo, if that ain't clear. Weak niggas wanna snitch, yo, but that ain't fair. Yo, we down in Vegas, but these guys too courageous. You know I'm on the run, but still rip stages. They call me Animal Dog when I'm in cages. I used to move phrases.
Oh, you guys will never understand. You know, like when that download from LimeWire just finished,
and then you hear that it's not some random guy who renamed his MP3 file. It's like, ooh, and then it hits. Okay, let's move on then, Philip. Let's go from
Obviously we got our listeners. Let us know in the comments who won this battle.
Clips grinding. If you the percussions are very similar, like they're almost identical. Mm-hmm. Anyway, going on to slightly more modern music. Flutist Lizzo. I should be checking what has been voted for. Okay, it's got people really want us to talk about this, huh? Okay. So, this week, actually yesterday from when we're recording, I don't know when you'll be listening, Lizzo, pop star who's been quiet after her whole situation, has come out again. She posted on her Instagram that she is tired of being dragged by online critics and she is quitting music. She said, I quit. I'm getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in my life and on the internet. All I want is to make music and make people happy and help the world be a little better than how I found it, but I'm starting to feel like the world doesn't want me in it. I'm constantly up against lies being told about me for clout and views, being the butt of the joke every single time because of how I look, my character being picked apart by people who don't know me and disrespecting my name. I didn't sign up for this. And then she ends with...
She didn't sign up for it? Okay. She ends with what? Would I quit?
So let me start. Okay. I have two things. I just want to start with compassion and then I do want to clown her a little bit. So...
So hard. Okay.
I know. Make but Phil, you and I, having worked in this industry, we know how hard this can be on artists. Even if in the beginning you have a different mindset, whatever, the industry is so tough on artists. And chances are, as an artist, you already have frayed mental health going on already, and, you know, a serious dependency on people's validation and stuff. Like, all of that is so common in music industry. I really feel bad for artists who are on the bad side of, like, you know, when society turns against you. Lizzo was on top of the world. She had people on her side. The people who were against her were viewed as bad guys, bigots. You know what I'm saying? Those are the ones who hate Lizzo. And there were plenty of them. But she was the girl who got the gold star because of her bravery, standing up to those bigots and those mean, evil people who keep saying nasty stuff about you. Queen. Now those people are still there, but the supporters are no longer there. And this is where I want to clown a little bit. This is your own doing. You can't sit and cry about people being mean when that's what you've built a reputation.
Then just to clarify, she posted on the Instagram page, right?
Yes.
What's the name of her Instagram page?
Lizzo Be Eating.
Okay. All right. So, another question. Obviously, it's not in the room, but let's do a role play, Danny. You, Lizzo.
Okay.
Okay, mm-hmm. You, Lizzo. So, hi, Lizzo.
Hi.
Lizzo, remember that day when you... when you
what? Thank you, Philip.
When you went to the Lakers game and that outfit that where your ass cheeks were out and you're sitting...
I took up three seats.
And you're sitting with your ass out in front of kids and your bare ass was touching public seating. Like, what happened there? Like, were you forced to do that, or was that your own doing?
I was looking for attention.
Okay, I'm being intentionally mean for no reason. I apologize. Obviously, Phil, do you know it's worse when you do it to yourself?
It hurts.
It hurts. It's that much worse. So I have some compassion, but Lizzo, okay, one, Phil already mentioned it. You can't sit and complain that people make fun of me for, you know, my size, how I look. And then your Instagram handle is Lizzo Be Eating. It means you already have a tongue-in-cheek view of yourself. It means you make light of the situation. It ain't that deep. Hey, man, I'm healthy. Yes, I'm a big girl. Yes, I'm fat. But whatevs, man. And that's cool. There'll always be people who have opinions. It is what it is. I thought, listen, Lizzo Be Eating. Yeah, you made fun of it and you move. Nothing wrong. Everything hunky-dory. But then now you're like, no, but you guys can't make fun of how I look. You're making fun of how you look. You showed us how to treat you. Anyway, of course, our producer had a handy reference to all the allegations that were made by former dancers.
My banana offer. How far would that banana stretch?
You can't make light of such.
I'm making light. I want to find out. Was it proven?
If you do not recall, not even that long ago,
and it's a bad time for these issues to be coming back to light. Like, the climate could not be worse.
Could not be worse. About 7 months ago, three of Lizzo's former dancers filed a lawsuit against her. We spoke about this on this very podcast, accusing her of not just being mean and rough to them, but also of potential sexual harassment. There was also fat shaming. Philip. So you think fat people can't fat shame?
That's so funny. Yo, I'm quitting the industry because people in the industry keep making mad comments about my weight. And that dancer must have been like, yo!
I know you ain't just say that. She was even accused of false imprisonment. Do you know that?
Yeah,
I because she locked she locked them up, wouldn't let them go home. What? I do think that there must be context that we don't understand. But overall, Liz, I don't know. You're not on the side of society that will give you. Or you're not on the side of the public eye that is going to give you that the sympathy you're looking for. This was a terrible move, and I assume it's not a move. Maybe you're just saying how you feel. In which case, again,
people need to you know the best way to quit. And it's a long-standing joke, but it never makes sense. Why are you announcing on the platform that you are quitting the platform? It's the most disingenuous thing ever. Just leave. Okay, I'm leaving now.
So this isn't the first time she's spoken since those accusations came out. Just 4 weeks ago, she posted on her Instagram how excited she was about new music she was working on, and she was thanking her fans for their patience with her and that she would have something for them coming soon.
And then people were like, wait a minute, patience.
She said that I'm writing some of the best music and I'm so excited for y'all to hear. I'm almost ready to be a normal human again, to be outside, to love and to trust people, to try and make new friends, to sing and talk about my pain and joy. Just give me a little more time. Thank you for your patience and the ones that are unfollowed. Thank you too, because now I know where we stand. So, hey, not meaning to be mean, but listen, you brought this on yourself and you're handling it terribly. It would be, you know what? Okay, Phil, you've worked in PR before. Here's the situation. Lizzo had this public, terrible PR storm over what happened. She may potentially still face legal consequences for, but it's in the courts. Let's see how far. But in the meantime, you have been hired to handle Lizzo's PR. And she comes to you and she's like, listen, I've had enough of this. I can't take this anymore. Every time I open my social media, it's negative.
I said, well, you better not have social media. Give me your phones.
She's at breaking point, fool.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Go to Africa. Get offline. Find out where Dave Chappelle went. Go there.
No, the label is expecting some work. Listen, she signed a contract. We need two more albums. We need her out soon. Fine, I understand. She's got to deal with some stuff. It's been 7 months.
No, that's not how. At Lizzo's level, she could renegotiate. Even if she has deliverables, she has mitigating circumstances.
Not right now. Even if she didn't renegotiate.
The thing is, like, Lizzo is not. Remember the Oscars? Remember and the Grammys? Lizzo was front row. Mm-hmm. And people were like, yo, like, Lizzo is. For you to get those seats, you're still a priority at the label.
Mm-hmm.
They're testing the waters. They're like, you know what? Let's see. Have things died down yet? Have they not? Let's test. They got the answer. So she's a priority. And you're like, listen, the sentiment isn't there. Guys, listen, I'm going to be writing. I'm recording. No, let me write for other artists. Let me do that. Let me go to the, let me just turn in the background. Let me figure out what to do, blah, 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 blah. There's many ways to work around.
So I want to know, what would you recommend for Lizzo?
I'm not even exaggerating.
So just shut up, sit back, chill.
Shut up, sit back. Let the cases. Well, first and foremost, let's figure out how we can settle these cases quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Mm.
We need to reach a settlement. And now it's no longer a thing of pride. It's like, okay, 2 million, not enough. Fine, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's keep negotiating till we find a figure. If they're willing to negotiate, let's pay that figure. And whether it's a matter of pride or not, because others will get prideful and then they'll refuse to pay. No. Whatever the figure they call to make this go away, we pay that. Cool. Let it die down. Record. Then we now need to figure out a rebrand strategy. So are we going I messed up. I apologize. I made amends. I got
learned from my mistakes. Grown as a human.
Toxic work environment. Blah 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 blah. Or are you going to go the tweet through it route? The tweet through it route doesn't work well, especially as an overweight black woman. Let's just be honest. So you're gonna have to show some remorse. So let's figure out that strategy. Let's maybe do an interview with Gayle King. You know, a little softball interview. You know what I mean? Let's have the fake tears ready to go. Have someone cutting onions on set. You know, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. Okay, cool. Do a couple of those. Get you in front of some dying kids. You know, volunteer at the Make-A-Wish Foundation for a couple of months. And then then after, if things are still better, there's nothing we can do because we've tried everything.
I think I would do the same. So, okay, this is one thing I would do is, words, tweets, and so on are too easily open to misinterpretation. I just need to know, first of all, are you on board? Or are you still feeling prideful, still feeling whatever? If you are on board, this is what we're going to do. Number one, we're going to lay low for a little bit. Don't post nothing. Don't post. Couple of months, lay low, which she did for a while. Next thing we're going
to
do.
She should not have come out of the Oscars. The Oscars was a big mistake.
Don't make any public appearances. Don't be anywhere. Don't look good. Don't. If anything, a couple of, man, she's really going through it. Leaks to TMZ. You know what I'm saying? Like,
be walking out there in the most frutty, tattered sweater you have.
Lizzo on her way to, you know, to I don't know.
Lizzo seen crying in park alone. Those type of
I mean, it doesn't have to be that bad. But I mean,
we'll pull out the Kate Winslet special. We'll do the Kate package.
And then softball interviews with a couple of people where you can really, and we are going to rehearse the heck out of it. Listen, at the time, I couldn't see it. In my mind, I thought I was pushing for perfection. And now upon reflection, I realized I'd created a toxic working environment. I couldn't see it. I was, and now looking back, I feel so bad. I've done my best to try and fix it. And I'm going to do my best never to do it again. Da, da, da. Who cares what you do in your private life? I can't change that. This is just for PR. I would hope that you would change in a private life. Then a couple of those interviews, hope nothing goes wrong, but ooh, we are going to rehearse those so much. And then from there, not even any music straight away. Now you're starting to make more public appearances. She was seen there. If we can find someone sympathetic to your cause, someone famous and who's sympathetic to your cause, who you're just always seen with. Just always.
Is Megan Good available?
Just always seen around Megan, like, Good. You know what I mean? Just like, we're always together. Oh, they had brunch together. Oh no, they went to this event together.
Megan is good for that. Megan is good for that.
And then it's she might be full time though at the moment. So
no, she's double dipping. Okay. Did you see their kiss?
Yes.
They didn't rehearse that, did they?
It's like, this is not in the contract. And then you test the waters a little. You know how you test the waters? Return to social. Expect fully that people, they're going to be flaming you. But just try and see how many people are there. Oh my God, Queen, we missed you. We're happy to have you back. Da, da, da. Okay, cool. Just with the, I'm feeling a bit better.
Why would you even come back to social media?
You can't not have social media.
Dan, Kendrick doesn't have social media.
Yes, but Kendrick has, okay, Lizzo is pop. Kendrick has a particular group of fans who look for, it's like Beyonce. Beyonce doesn't need social media. She has dedicated fans who are her. Lizzo has the generic pop fans.
But I think here's something that, weirdly enough, I learned in therapy, but I've also started applying to business, is the moment you experience a life-changing event, the version of you before that event is dead now, right? Mm. The version of Lizzo, who was seen as this very body positive, aspirational, role model, is dead. And Lizzo and her team need to realize that. She's dead. So now we're like, okay, this new Lizzo that we're now reintroducing to the public, what can we do? Because at the end of the day, like, I'm also not trying to be funny, but on a serious tip now, Lizzo needs to protect her mental health, right? As much as, this is a commercial enterprise and money needs to be made, blah, blah, blah. Lizzo needs to also look out for Lizzo. Lizzo needs to look out for her mental health. Her team needs to look out for her mental health. What can we do to allow you to maintain a level of success, a level of comfortability, also doing what you love, which is perform and make music, but also not to the detriment of your mental health, so that you aren't having to abuse drugs, alcohol, food, whatever that may be.
Mutually exclusive.
You know what I mean?
Can't have good mental health and be a successful artist. I'm sorry.
But you, so it's finding that, it's threading that needle so you can at least be somewhat functional.
Okay. I hear you. She obviously doesn't have to be directly the one posting. With a social media manager, you don't even look at the social media. My point is, you already have several dozen million, I don't know how many followers she has, of people that have taken the initiative to follow you, which means they're interested in you for some reason or another. So that's a good litmus test to start gauging where you stand in the public. You're never going to have everyone on your side, obviously. But from those that chose to follow you and who are still following you, you can start getting a litmus test of are people still on my side or not. And that's what I want the social media for. Not necessarily for promo, but as a litmus test. Start off on the social media. You know, do something like, listen, man, it's been so rough, but today for the first time, I noticed the sun shining, da-da-da. I went out to the gym or whatever the case is you do. Then you're able to gauge a little bit of response. You know what? Today, actually, I was able to get back into music. And you're right. I don't think it's possible for her to find that version of herself, which was, oh my God, I'm just this nice person and kind. What? No, now you're a completely different person. You're someone who was damaged, who's trying to find their way back to the light. And so many people can relate to that. Oh, that's the vibe you put out there. That's the music you put that when you hit an interview. Maybe you start off with a couple of features.
We're saying the same thing.
Yes.
We're saying the same thing.
So, but I'm saying, I think her social media pages will be a crucial part of that. Because I think it's in real time that she can do regularly. Just start putting out the car. Even if she's not doing it. In fact, she shouldn't do it personally. She should have someone else who's there taking the videos.
Or she could take the Will Smith route and just post through it.
Like as if nothing's happening.
But
people get over it, man.
Look at Will Smith's page.
Yeah.
Like what all Will Smith did was just started. He became like, he became like puberty. You know what I mean? He just started posting other people's videos.
Diddy just posted a picture of his kid. It was like, Happy Easter. I don't know if that's the smartest.
Well, technically, there's no warrant for his arrest. He's not on the run. He's just laying low.
We're talking about PR, Phil. We're not talking about what.
I think the PR, Diddy's PR. the moment the Cassie case happened, it was a wrap. Yeah. Then, you know, this speaks to what Dan and I were talking about. At a certain age, you need to start asking yourself, like, what are the women I'm bringing into my life? And, you know, sometimes because of my job, I'll be in the club. And sometimes I'll one thing a very blue moon dad will be there. And sometimes we'll see a man who peaked too late. Mm-hmm. You're in your 40s, your 50s. You're wearing a very undersized designer label shirt. You've got some very sparkly shoes, some red bottoms, and you're making sure people see the LV bag, and you're buying bottles. You know, drawing a lot of attention to yourself. And at my young age of 36, I'll be looking at that and be like, "My man, you should be at home."
Yep.
You know, surely you have children. Go raise your kids. If you don't have kids, you should be finding age-appropriate women to which to have kids. You know, you can find good women to have kids with, Dan. Church groups, you know? Nothing like a good cell group. Maybe a bake sale. You know, that's your demo. And people need to start understanding where they belong. You know what I mean? You need to get in where you fit in. And I think that fits.
It's just, we're talking about Diddy, though, so.
No, I'm saying that.
In general.
I'm saying that because those Young Miami tweets, they keep finding more of them.
And not just the tweets, the lyrics of her songs. Which Diddy has just as bad lyrics in his songs from back in the day.
The thing is, like, with songs, I'm always hesitant to use that because I believe artistic expression
should not
be seen as
an I believe artistic expression should not be legally used. But in court of public opinion, obviously we're gonna think about what you're talking about, If you are the rumored side chick of a famous criminal and your song is "I Ain't Never Gonna Snitch on My Man."
What do you mean rumored, Dan? He had a baby while they were together.
I'm giving a general example. I'm not referring to anyone specifically. Anyway. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about some tech for a bit, Phil.
Am I getting nerdy?
We actually had Beyonce on our talking points, but look, our Patreon subscribers here have made it clear they're not interested. Okay, there's two things to talk about. Let's start, and both of them include Facebook or, you know, the company Meta. So let's start off with this breaking news that just dropped now, literally today, before we started recording. There was some very explosive news that came through from the world of Meta, and it was specifically regarding a particular deal they had with Facebook. The story is that Meta, or the parent company of Facebook, they're currently being sued because they're accused of having allowed Netflix access to users' private messages for nearly a decade. And this was supposedly to help Netflix customize offers for its audience. I guess the thinking is that, hey, listen, if we can find out what are people talking about, oh, watch this, watch that, then we know what they might be interested in.
So with all that information, Netflix algorithm still sucks that bad?
Look, it's not amazing. So let me continue reading this story. The lawsuit further contends, Phil, that since at least 2011, the two tech giants have been engaging in secret custom partnerships and integrations, leveraging the personal friendship between Netflix co-founder Reed Hastings and Facebook's founder Mark Zuckerberg. Hastings, co-founder of Netflix, joined Facebook's board of directors, and they had an agreement known as the Inbox API, which enabled Netflix to access the inboxes Facebook. This happened apparently within a month of him joining Facebook's board of directors, and they were then able to Facebook gave access to the inboxes. In return, Netflix would furnish Facebook with bi-weekly reports detailing how its users engaged with the platform. There's also rumors that Facebook have been working, or rather Meta have been working, on their own streaming platform, and guess they are such good friends that Hastings was like, "Yeah, sure, let me help you out," to create a rival company. So yeah, so this I'm reading the story from Ars Technica. Let me see if there's any particular points that I've missed out. Facebook extended API agreements called Inbox API. Yeah. So that's the story. And then there's a whole section here on Facebook streaming ambitions because they want to create their own streaming platform. That's why they created, you know, they've been doing weird stuff with Facebook video.
I'm on Facebook, so I've said it many times, like, the reason why I hate being on social media is because I know how social media works.
Yeah.
And once you know how it works and you see, granted, I had no idea that Facebook was giving information to Netflix, but I'm not surprised because the amount of data breaches, when you start running campaigns, the amount of granularity we used to be able to get before the Cambridge Analytica scandal and even afterwards with lookalike audiences and email matching, it's scary how much Facebook knows about you.
So Facebook, their streaming platform, I don't know if it was going to be called this, but it was going to be based on Facebook's Watch. So they have something called Facebook Watch. There's a couple of shows that were originally put on Facebook
Watch. That's the Conscious Steps.
For example, Watch as in Warner, not Watch as in...
That's a terrible name. Because my thing would be like, oh, Facebook is making a wrist
Facebook Watch. They had some original shows. So if you recall, Red Table Talk was a Facebook original.
Yeah, and then they killed all those programs.
There was another one called Sorry for Your Loss, which starred Elizabeth Olsen.
Remember that one with Cardi B that ran for like 6 episodes?
So yeah, so it's very awkward that there's all this weird stuff going in behind the scenes. So I thought about it. I literally saw this just a few minutes before we started recording. And the first thing that came to my mind was my thought, obviously, number one, I don't want anyone to see my private data. But then I was thinking about it like, what value would my Facebook inbox have been? Now that my big worry is Facebook have WhatsApp. Is it possible that a similar arrangement was made with our WhatsApp messages?
Well, as far as we know from security experts, WhatsApp messages are still end-to-end encrypted. So they can get the metadata, as in who you're contacting, but they don't know what's in those messages. Unless they've got some incredible backdoor that security researchers haven't been able to figure out yet.
And also, to be fair, also end-to-end encryption is relatively recent to WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So what happened before that?
All those nudes you guys sent before. All I'm going to say, if I ever have a Drake situation, guys, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, I was young, you know.
Yeah, I want to say the same. Like, listen, it's the motion in the ocean that's important. So let's not focus on technicality.
You know what I mean? It was a cold day. The angle was weird.
Let's not sweat the small stuff. Let's.
So, guys, please. You know what I mean? But on a serious note, okay, on a serious tip, this is a hard issue. And I don't want you guys to gloss over it. Seriously, if that does happen, please, just don't look. Just delete because, you know, it's revenge. What's a leak?
So obviously Facebook doesn't have a good reputation when it comes to privacy. This is just another in a litany of stories that has always docked.
But TikTok, Dan, TikTok.
That's the one that must be banned.
Yes, TikTok. China.
So I think one of the interesting things is that it looks like Meta have somewhat abandoned the idea of a streaming service because they're like, yo, it's actually not easy to make money off this stuff. Netflix is making losses year on year. So
yeah. And that's, I think there's a bigger discussion. Maybe we should have a tech, maybe we should have like a tech spinoff. But
that's not a bad idea, actually.
Outside of just becoming a massive ad platform and then buying their competitors, Facebook has not done much in 10 years. Google, Same playbook. They just buy the competitors, have not really done much.
Yeah.
Apple, in the last five, up until the M1, I would have said the same thing. But I think the M1 and the A series chips are a bit of a step forward. But it's also a problem because Apple are so averse to having people repair their devices. They can't even repair a critical flaw in all of their M1 and M2 and M3 chips. Did you read that story?
I haven't. I was going to watch, is it Dave 2D or it was Marcus' video on it? I don't know. I'm still yet
but
to watch it.
There's a zero-day flaw in all those chips that can easily be exploited. It's annoying. Capitalism will always get capitalized, which brings us to another story that Facebook is now being sued because they were overinflating the numbers advertisers were seeing. This is not the first time.
Nor is it the first company.
Nor is it the second. Nor is it the third. ever since I got my Facebook certification, I think I recall this would be the fourth lawsuit. And I remember every time I've done this, I've had to go back to clients and be like, hey, just a heads up. We may have been getting some bogus numbers.
So if you're wondering what we're talking about, right? Obviously, Facebook makes all its money from advertising. And they have a reach metric, which is how many people have seen your advert. So this lawsuit is alleging, it's a class action lawsuit that was raised by advertisers from Facebook and Instagram, alleging that Meta has been inflating viewership numbers by up to 400%. So they would say, you know, oh, 1 million people watched your video. Meanwhile, it was 250,000 who watched it or saw your advert. Or
what quantifies a watch? Because Facebook, first it used to be 6 seconds, then it became 3 seconds, then it became 3 seconds with no audio, which if you ever scroll through a Facebook timeline, let's say you're scrolling through and there's two posts on the page. At the top is your aunt's long, loving message to a loved one that you're reading through. And at the bottom is a video from some page that started playing. If you're still reading that post on the top and the video started playing at the bottom and it's visible on your screen, Facebook counts it as a view.
To be fair, that's fair. Because it's like the TV. If the TV is on, but you're looking at your phone while the TV's
on. But there's no audio.
I understand. To me, what's unfair is, so for example, obviously every social media platform is filled with bots. You just need to look at any popular Instagram account and go through the comments to just see just how many bots are on any page. These guys will file this class action lawsuit. They say that the company is determining advertising costs by counting the total number of social media accounts rather than individual users. And this is including bot and fake accounts. So they say Meta have denied this. And they explain that the price advertisers are charged is based on performance metrics, not potential reach. They say these allegations are baseless and we will defend ourselves vigorously. The advertisers, the law firm there who found this opportunity, they say, we look forward to continuing to litigate this case. Of course you do. On behalf of Meta's advertising customers and presenting the evidence to a jury that Meta knew about its inflated potential reach and refused to fix the issue due to revenue concerns. So as it stands now, the people who are suing Facebook are saying, we are trying to advertise on Facebook. You gave us inflated potential reach numbers. Facebook is saying, no, actually, what we gave you are performance indicators, not potential reach. So let's see how this goes. This is interesting, obviously, because it's gonna affect whatever the prices of advertising are. And obviously, Facebook may have to pay up to $7 billion. And then now we wait for it to go to trial, or maybe Facebook will settle. $7 billion to them is in their couch cushions, I'm sure. Nah, it's still hefty. It's a solid amount. But, that's very interesting. Mm. Some gaga stories, Philip.
Yes. This I have to talk about, Dan.
Yes.
It hurts. It hurts my heart, Dan. It hurts my soul. Dan, as I'm sure you noticed, my hair is a little thinny at the top these days.
Have you tried Keeps?
Actually. So, I was actually going to get on some medication, but then my doc was like, you know what? It's going to affect your kidneys. I'm already on medications for my mental health, for my kidneys and my liver. So, it's like, yeah. And I was like, you know what, doc? In the grand scheme of things, you know what? Do I want to be alive or do I have a full head of hair? You know? And then I saw LeBron and his hairline. And I was like, if a billionaire can't figure this out, who am I? You know what? So I was just like, you know what, dog? Let's see what happens. Oddly enough, though, I have found a product that is doing pretty well. Like, I've got some regrowth. I've got some baby hairs back there. So, you know, I might have a full afro by December. We'll see. However, because TikTok does seem to know everything about me, I've never even searched for anything hair related on TikTok. TikTok started showing me videos of men using products to help with their hairlines and regrow male pattern baldness.
Mm-hmm.
There's one user, I'm not even going to mention his name because I blocked him, because the betrayal, Dan, the betrayal.
I think I know exactly which user it is, because I think his stuff came across my page once.
So this guy,
he's obsessed about getting waves, isn't he?
Yeah, so this guy would always be, you talk about the eight pattern wave, brush, 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 and he'd always plug his strawberry mint hair growth formula. But the funny thing is, he'd always say, apply the strawberry mint or use this bath soap and then use minoxidil. Minoxidil is the chemical people know helps with male pattern baldness. So now it's a weird thing where, like, is his hair regrowing because of the minoxidil or is it because of his product or is it a combination of the two? And the comments were always lit with discussion about this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I came across him because he went on a hair regrowth journey where he's like, I'm going to regrow my hairline. My hairline was back here, top of my forehead. I'm going to get it back here. So the video I saw was like the final video in the series. So I see the before and I'm like, yo, my man's really grew back his hairline. Okay, wow. Let me see what his page is talking about. But then I also start seeing the fact that he's combining his oil with a tested off-the-shelf product that seems to work. But he's selling his oil, like a small little 100 mil for like $35. Clearly, my man sold a lot of these oils because he had a lot of views on his videos. I think he had almost 1 million followers at the time, right? Then now, the final video that he posted when I decided, nah, I can't take it. The betrayal, I'm blocking this guy. Because I was starting to believe, huh? I was starting to believe. You know, I was like, homie's really far away because his hairline is back. He's like, yo, I suffer from extreme dermatitis. Like, I've got very dry skin. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to Turkey to get a hair transplant.
Yeah.
That was jab one, Dan. The surgery was jab one, right? Jab two is before the surgery. I've got to shave my hair because of my dermatitis. So I'm going to treat the dry scalp with the dermatitis so that when they do the surgery, it's not as bad because they can't do the surgery like when my scalp is this dry and infected. My man starts shaving his head. As he shaves his head, we all learn that his hairline did not in fact go back. He was just growing it at the edges and brushing it forward.
I'm looking at him shaving as we speak.
Play the audio.
Well, I mean, I'm not connected to the, you're connected to the Bluetooth there.
No, it's cool. I'll watch. It's a long video. I'll watch it. It's cool. Dan, right now, do-rag and wave TikTok is in an uproar. The reaction videos, the betrayal, the shock, the horror.
Okay, in real news, Philip. In real news, I'll tell you about the shock and horror that I experienced.
But I just want to say, to me, this surpasses anything Risa Tisa dealt with. Speaking of, did you see Risa Tisa? Did you see a post about a new car?
I don't follow her.
Oh, no, wait, no, actually, no, yet. So, like, do you remember the story about Risa Tisa?
Yes.
Like, the X5.
I mean, she's the one with the 50-part TikTok, isn't she?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was that part of she kept wanting to get that X5. And her followers have been tagging BMW like, yo, BMW, do best. Come on. Give this woman her car. They've been tagging BMW for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also been hinting at some of her dreams coming true. I think here's the video here.
Good morning, cousins, best friends, and everybody in between. So this is going to be a real quick story time. May do it in two parts, but I'll just link it together so I don't waste y'all's time.
Oh, now she's pushing target. Oh, there we go. This is the video I was looking for.
Hey, cousins, best friends, and everybody in between. Sorry that I'm talking a little slow today. It is a gorgeous day, and I just left the Cheesecake Factory here in Lenox Mall out here in Atlanta. So, if you know, it is my favorite place on earth. But that is not why I'm making this video. I've decided to finally go ahead and give you guys a personal update that I'm sure you all have been wondering what's going on, and I'm so excited. So for those of you who don't know, I have in fact actually met somebody. It's new, but it is really, really exciting. And I'm going to just be frank with you guys, just be transparent. One of the things that I really, really like about this individual is the fact that throughout all of...
Where do you think this video is going?
I have no idea.
Just based on what she's been saying, where do you think it's going?
She bought a car.
This, they have really been supportive. They've been so kind. And just on this,
which car?
I don't know, Philip. I've got nothing. I haven't been following her story at all. I have nothing to base it on.
New journey. They have been a really, really great partner. And so I think it's only fair to give the flowers to someone that you care about while they are here. So, yeah, I'm really, really excited, a little giddy about it. But I am finally going to introduce you guys to someone that I think is going to be a very, very special presence in my life as I move forward. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you to... Everyone, this is Lindsay. Lindsay is my 2024 Hyundai Palisade Calligraphy Edition. Yes, you heard that.
Very nice. Look, it pays to clown yourself on socials.
No. The funny part is, everyone has been waiting for this woman to get an X5. Even BMW are posting her. But
she went and got a
Hyundai. She got sponsored.
Yeah.
They gave it. The best comment is
first come, first serve.
If you haven't watched the videos, you may not get it. But the best comment was BMW playing arena football, Hyundai winning the Super Bowl.
So I want to rant about something, and it was triggered by something that happened to me this week. Not a big deal. As you recall, last week we spoke about how YouTube Premium is now officially available. Well, YouTube Music is now officially available in Zimbabwe, which means it's worth it to get YouTube Premium. And you don't have to go through SA. You can just get it here because it's available here. And we'll discuss what are the prices. And I think it was $3.50. But anyway, I because I have a family account on my wife's, it's a whole long story. I paid through the South African account. And then when I did the research, it was 70 Rand. And I was like, oh, that's like almost the same amount anyway. So it's cool. I'll just pay through South Africa. Cool. Then as I was going through it, what had happened was I was going to sign up for YouTube Music. And I don't know why in my head, It was cheaper than what we had discussed, but it didn't include YouTube Premium. And I was like, wait, no, I thought that those come together. So I was trying to figure all this out, right? So I'm trying to subscribe. And then I'm like, okay, but what is the price if I select this? And then it says, congratulations, you've subscribed. I was like, oh, and then it tells me the bill is 90 something Rand. I was like, no, but it's supposed to be 70 something Rand. I'm like, oh yeah, snap, because I'm going through the Apple App Store. But I wasn't actually trying to subscribe in the moment. I was just trying to see what the options were if, does it come bundled? Is it one or the other? Or I was trying to figure all that out, right? And obviously that's a little bit off-putting. It was something that I was going to pay for anyway. I just thought, am I going through the right route? Obviously, I want to go through the browser, not through Apple App Store because of that 30% surcharge. So anyway, obviously why I ended up clicking is because they make it so easy for you to subscribe. It's just, there's people who are paid lots of money to create a UX that will funnel you towards a subscribe button. And I clearly fell to it. And this just made me think about the general designs that are put in place to make you pay and make it difficult for you to cancel. Now, Phil, as you know, for our tools, we use, for a lot of things that we use Adobe. So I had a free Adobe subscription on my MSI because it came with the laptop. But now that I moved to another laptop.
Oh, I think we're going to have the same rant.
So I was about to pay for it. So I was trying to figure out how much is it? What do I really need? Am I going to pay for the full suite? Ugh, it costs this much or it costs that much. I don't know. Again, I'm trying to figure out what to pay for. Because I was like, I use it so much. Instead of me trying to dodge around free trials and blah, 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 let me just pay for this damn thing. I use it so much. It'll pay for itself. Blah, 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 blah. So I land on the subscription page. It tells you, okay, you can get a free trial for 7 days. I'm like, great, whatever, but I plan to pay for it anyway. Then it says it costs for the full Creative Cloud suite. I think it was
$34.
Yeah, it was more than that. It was,
which region were you thinking from?
I think just I didn't select anything else. I was just doing it.
I'll tell you a trick off air.
Yeah, it was 40 something, but I'm using someone else's experience as a reference. So I'm going to use their figures, but mine wasn't exactly this. But it's the same experience, just slightly different figures. So it said on it 7 days free, $49.94 a month. So I was like, okay, fine. That's a lot to pay per month, but I use it so much. It's fine. I'm just using this figure, but I'm pretty sure. I think it was 40. I think that's the figure that it was. Anyway, and then there's a start free trial button. Cool. Hit on start free trial so that I can try and find out what we can select. Once you hit start free trial, it says 7 day trial due now, $0. Recurring billing starts, and then it gives you a date 7 days later. Great. Okay. At least in those 7 days, I can, you know, make a decision, I guess, or whatever, but I think I'd already decide. But then I notice it says annual plan paid monthly. So it's not really $49 per month, is it?
No, it is, but you're locked into an annual contract.
So it's an annual contract, exactly. So it's not just $49 per month, which is what I thought. So if I just wanted 1 month,
then they'll charge you the difference for there's
you can, but it has a very high, it's like 100 and something.
No, they'll charge you for this.
No, it's not a penalty. It's so they offer, this is supposed to be the cheap way to get it. If we lock you in for a year, you can pay this cheap amount per month.
I've been through support. Yes, yeah.
But if you want to pay just 1 month, it's crazy expensive, like 100 and something or something like that, right? So I'm like, obviously that doesn't make sense, but let's look at these details of annual plan paid monthly. If you click start free trial, it creates that agreement, which has very tiny writing on it and so on. It says, by starting my 7 day free trial, I'm beginning a subscription and I agree to the subscription and cancellation terms in terms of use. Accept. Nice big blue button with the accept start free trial. And then there's a little cancel. In fact, cancel is not even visible, by the way. There's also a little link that says, because I've just clicked, that says I'm accepting these terms. There's a little link that links you to the terms. And if you select that subscription and cancellation terms link, it takes you to another page. On the front page, it just has a bunch of generic terms that you would expect in any kind of software agreement. There's no scroll, but you should know that if you use your down arrow or your mouse or whatever, it will scroll, but it's not visible in that particular page. If you scroll down, it says, should you cancel after 14 days, you'll be charged a lump sum of 50% of your remaining contractual obligation and your service will continue until the end of the month's billing period. So if I pay for a year, or if I start free trial, it means I've started a contract for a year. If I cancel 14 days later, I have to pay for half a year, but I can't use it past the first month. I'm literally just donating $300 to Adobe.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be legal. That can't be legal. If I wasn't so tight-fisted, I would have just, because in my, I had already accepted that I am going to pay for this. If I had done so, Philip, if I had done so, and then I'd come across these terms, I'm like, no, absolutely not. And then I can't back out. In fact, I would have probably tried to back out, and then they'll send me a bill for $300 and something.
They can't. So,
what do you mean they can't? That's what they do.
I'm telling you, they can't because I've done it. Mm. So, as you know, Dan, and you've been laughing at me for quite some time, I've been subscribed to Adobe for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, what? Along with all this nonsense that you've highlighted, which is very correct, the other thing that Adobe used to do and still do is for the first year, they would charge you $34.
Mm-hmm.
Thereafter, in the second year, it bumps up to $60. So I was happily paying my $34. I was like, you know, I'm supporting, I get all the suite. It seems like a good deal. Then all of a sudden, I now get a $60 ping on my bank card. So I was like, meh. So I called up, I had a live chat with support, and they were like, no, your contract expired, blah, blah, blah. So I hit them with I bet I can't afford it. Cancel. They were like, no, but you've now entered the second year of your thing. We're going to charge a cancellation fee. I'm like, I don't have the money on my card. Cancel. They're like, yeah, we're going to charge you. I'm like, you can try. There's not that much money on my card. Cancel. Then they're like, okay, so what can we do? I was like, no. Cancel my whole account. I'm done with you guys. So I soon got it like that. Two chats later, the moment you the moment you use that word in chat, they've got a script. And the script tells them, retain customer at all costs.
Mm.
So if you sunga enough, they'll just be like, all right, okay, sorry, we'll just revert you back to 34. I've been using Adobe for 4 years. I'm still paying the first year fee because every year when they up the fee, all I do is I defund my account. I message them and I tell them I don't have the money. They're like, okay, so you've missed payment. I'm like, yeah, I don't have the money. I can afford $34. That's all I can afford. If you guys want to charge me more, please, by all means, take my account and they'll revert back. So that's been going on for quite some time. The thing that really annoyed me, Dan, is a couple months ago. Good?
Mm-hmm.
A couple months ago, I purchased a hard drive, backup hard drive. My old hard drive had died, blah, blah, blah. So, and it's like a NAS, right? And it comes with a 6-month subscription to Adobe Creative, but not the full suite, but it's a 6-month credit. So in my mind, okay, let me put it this way. Let me ask you, Dan, if you already have an existing Adobe account and you get a coupon for 6 months of some features of Adobe and you can apply to your existing account, what does that mean to you?
Surely you can, you're free for 6 months.
That's what I thought too.
Mm.
I was wrong. So I applied that credit. For 6 months, I had 2 different account tiers. So they just upped my storage from 100 gigabytes to 400 gigabytes. And I had 2 licenses for Lightroom. I had 2 licenses for Photoshop. I had 2 licenses for Lightroom Classic. And I had 2 licenses for Adobe.
Why would you need that?
Lord knows, Dan, because it's on the same account. It's not like I can share it with you because it's the same account. Anyway, after 6 months, I start getting pinged with a $34 bill and a $69 bill. So I'm like, why am I paying Adobe $99 a month? So the first 2 months, I don't think I was paying close attention to what was going on. The third month, I was like, nah, wait, what? So I contact support. I'm like, guys, I'm trying to understand. Why have I paid you guys an extra $180? They're like, oh, it's because you signed up for this other package. So you've got 2 packages on your account. I'm like, okay, wait. So now I ask them those questions. If I have 2 packages on my account, can 2 computers use the account simultaneously? No. So I'm like, so I don't have 2 packages on my account, do I? They're like, oh, sorry, that was a mistake. So I'm like, guys, I'm not stupid. You're not stupid. Obviously, I thought you would have just credited my account. You didn't credit my account. All you did was find an excuse to bill me more. Remove the thing. To their credit, within a day, First Capital were messaging me. Bing, 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 bing. Refund, refund, refund. But what I will never get back is the bank charges.
Hmm.
So I totally understand where you're coming from. And I hate it. The way Adobe treats its customers, as nice and as cool as these new features may be, meh, they're okay-ish. Like, they really are consumer hostile. And I'm a whisker away from just abandoning Adobe.
Honestly, I think now there are a ton of, maybe not free tools, but far better priced and better customer-oriented tools. It's just we're all so deeply embedded into Adobe's general ecosystem. But, you know, Adobe was about to acquire Figma, right? $20 billion acquisition, and then that fell through. Love to hear it. Because Figma will...
Well, it depends now because Figma went flux for a year. So like in that year, there was probably no real R&D. Maybe staff maybe left. Staff were in limbo. Some staff thought, oh my God, our shares are going to vest. We're about to get guapped up. I don't know if you've watched the We Crashed series on Apple about WeWork.
About WeWork. It's on my to-watch list, is a very long list.
Not to spoil it, but there's a scene where like they're about to IPO. And all these early employees are hearing these valuations. Like, I bet we're about to get caked up. And they're going out and they're balling. They're buying Gucci bags.
That's their fault.
Then the IPO hits and now they've got to sell everything because they're broke. But that's the same thing that happened with Figma employees. Even though Figma still got that $1 billion severance fee, is that going to cover them and make them whole? And also, if you think about it strategically, right, from Adobe's standpoint, if your biggest competitor, the competitor that you're scared of, if you can have them cease R&D for at least 6 months because the thing's about to be acquired by you, while you continue to iterate your competitive product, and it only costs you $1 billion, in the grand scheme of things, maybe it's worth it. Mm. Don't you think?
Yeah. I guess. They call these dark patterns, by the way, and it's a deliberate design to try and make sure that they get you. It's so easy to sign up, but extremely difficult to cancel. And there's currently people who are fighting that in the legals. And hopefully soon we're going to find a lot of these those different companies being...
It's been fascinating reading about it, especially in America, because the cable companies all came together and they were like, yeah, guys, if we make it too easy for people to cancel their subscriptions, they might actually cancel their subscriptions. We can't have that.
If you're interested in this, or if you've experienced it, check out this. It's a website called deceptive.design. And it's literally someone who put together, is like, yo, I'm tired of this. And he started just like listing all the different ways that all these companies are doing that. They have a section called Hall of Shame, where they just list all these companies, all the companies that sell subscriptions, signups, whatever, and just the different way that they're trying to manipulate you and trick you into signing up for something. Okay, Philip, we've been recording for a couple of hours now. We've just crossed the 2 hour. Well, okay, no, this is including all our testing at the beginning, but we've just crossed the 2 hour mark. So let's check out some music and then...
No, let's wait, Dan. We can't go through it. First, I think...
Yes, we can, Philip. We are shutting this down and we are going.
You know, she's now...
Management is here.
Okay, we'll be quick. But the John Stewart Philip, story...
shut it down.
The John Stewart story is very interesting.
We can have that as an extra, please.
Okay, we're not going to talk about Dune 2 at least. Let's just talk about Dune 2.
Tell me about Dune 2.
You went to watch it first. What do you think?
I like I already said, I loved it. To me, I can already tell it's probably going to be my favorite movie of this year. I thought the world that Denis Villeneuve built, he was just incredible at how he did it. And Dune is well known for having so much dialogue and exposition. So it's so difficult to put across into a movie or a TV show. But he did so well in that there's so much stuff that's just implied, not told. There's so much stuff that if you get it, you get it, cool. But if you don't, it doesn't take away from the movie. And it's just, I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. It was after the rough few years that Star Wars has put me through.
Star Wars has been good recently with the TV shows. TV shows, The Mandalorian was excellent.
Not season.
What's the other one?
Boba Fett? Not really.
Boba Fett. Nah. The one after Boba Fett.
Ahsoka. Yeah. I haven't watched that one yet, actually.
Ahsoka, I just watched the first episode, but I'm already like, yo. And then now the new one, The Acolyte,
but
is apparently lit.
I think what I'm talking about is the cinema experience. So this is the first time I've gone to the cinema in a while. For, you know, reasons that I think you know, because, you know, a little bit of friction. But also, I was like, they've revamped. But then also...
Not really. A little bit.
The purchase processing was terrible, but... It was good. It's been a while since I've seen a movie made for the cinema at the cinema. Mm. And it was very good to see that they finally fixed the speakers in Prestige. So at least the surround sound was working as it should. And it was very loud. But the aircon was also very loud. It was very cold. But it was a great experience. I think that movie, the writing, the subtexts,
The visuals were beautiful.
The cinematography is insane. If they don't win best cinematography, I don't know what's going on in this world. Because
I mean, it's only April. Let's see. But there's more movies to come this year. No, but
Dad,
so far, I'm
the top cinema, movie. The cinematography was insane.
Also, 3 hour movie. So
and that's the one. Dude. You know, like I went to that movie already quasi pressed. Like I was quasi pressed. You know what I mean? And I already had a jug of water, but it was so good. I was waiting for the dialogue scene where you could quickly dash to the thing and go, okay, so what I said, there was no room.
Famously, Denis Villeneuve, the director, he said dialogue is for TV shows. And not to say that he doesn't have talking in his movies. He just means that's not what drives the story forward. There's talking as part of the...
And I think a lot of people, people just rush to get... upset, but I immediately understood what he said.
Yeah.
A perfect example of that, if you watch Billions, you'll understand exactly what he means. Billions was great, not only because of the character arcs and the storyline, but the excellent dialogue, the banter, the wit, That's why I used to drive billions. Mm. In a movie, that would be terrible.
Mm. Agreement. Total agreement. Yeah, so look, a very big recommendation. Even if you're not a sci-fi fan, if you just like a really well-made movie, it's not bushoom, bushoom, car chase scenes and whatever. Absolutely not. It's not an action movie, although it does have scenes of action.
It does, but it's very political.
Yes, it's political drama. That's what it is. It's just political drama, powerful. And then there's like a subtext of religious fervor and, you know, warnings against messianic figures. It's just gorgeous, man.
And then you can see like how people, even though they have well good intentions, how the human ego is almost inevitable, and also how people can use people's beliefs for their own goods. Even in the beginning, if it's for what some people might deem as benign or positive reasons, like, yo, I just want to survive. I just want to protect my son.
Mm.
And then it takes a sharp left.
Lisan al-Ghaib! Lisan al-Ghaib! Yeah.
My favorite part is, man, what's his name? The guy that he was supposed to kill to have taken the tribal seat, like everything he does proves it. No matter what he does, it proves it's him. He's too humble. Of course it's him. He's too proud. Of course he would say that.
Chalamet, yeah. Yeah. And Zendaya was excellent in it, actually. I don't know why I just went in thinking that, okay, fine, we just have what's supposed to be a pretty face. She was good.
But, you know, I think it's about time. Well, I don't know if you saw that they have to rewrite. HBO forced that creepy white dude to rewrite season 3 of
Euphoria
because he was trying to make Zendaya a backstage feature or a B-list actor. I don't know what the right word is, but she's not going to become a detective. And we're like, fam, you want a drug addict to be a detective? Do you know how detectives work? But considering she's now on one of the biggest shows on TV, 2 solid seasons, she's had a number of great dramatic performances. Now she's probably in this era's biggest blockbuster series, which if they do it well...
What's that?
Could... June. Like,
okay, yeah, yeah.
If they do it well, June could span 5 movies. Granted, she'll only be alive for the next one.
No, it gets weird. It gets to... It would never, those future movies will never make it. They'll never exist. It gets... I read these when I was in high school. It gets weird.
Spoiler alert. Okay, what happens? What's the weirdest thing that happens in the books?
People turn into worm people, and there's some weird sex stuff going on of like interspecies, and yeah, it just gets it's like completely insane. Like, works well for a sci-fi book, but normal people watching a movie would be like, "What the hell? What?"
So, like, Human Centipede. That was a blockbuster.
All right, Philip, let's get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you very much for tuning in to another blockbuster episode of Two Broke Twimbos. We are back and we are giving you some good content. Listen, you are welcome to throw suggestions and ideas our way, but we're only really going to listen if you're a subscribing Patreon member. So twobroketwimbos.com/donate. It's super easy. There's no dark patterns on there. You just go on there and then there's just a click here, and then you can select whichever way you want to do it. The easiest way is Patreon, but if you want to do a direct payment also, that's also fine. Whatever method is available, you are able to choose it. Or if you want to hit us up and ask us, hey man, I've got this money, how can I get it to you? We'd very happily take it. A minimum of $5 a month qualifies you to be part of our exclusive group. And then you jump into the WhatsApp group. We have great conversations. This week was lit, I won't lie. Not only that, but you get first access to everything. You help us decide what we're going to be talking about. And you just have the solid knowledge of knowing that you are supporting a podcast, people that need it. So we appreciate everyone who has subscribed so far. Shout out to all our Patreon members. You guys are the best. And you are the ones we prefer. Apart from that, yeah, we just want you to keep supporting us. Share if you can. Just retweeting is a great help. So if you can just retweet so that other people can see it, we should be having video content, just little video clips coming out to you. Not of this one because we didn't record, but of like the previous
Crims,
just little clips so that you can share, and people who don't listen to the podcast can actually be like, oh snap, I might be interested in this. I still have people who are like, man, I remember when you guys used to do a podcast. To this day, I think I'm not even like, yeah, those were good times. That's how I'm going to end it. Yeah. Apart from that, we will catch you in the next episode, I guess, Phil. Unless there's anything else you want to share.
This is our birthday month. This month, Dan, load up the air horn. We officially turn 10 years old.
10 years old.
And
yay!
And as you can tell, with 10 years and almost 400 episodes under the belt, we are finally,
Oh, sorry. You hadn't finished.
We're a well-oiled machine. Seamless. Seamless. You know what I mean? We even finish each other's
time.
Exactly. So we're celebrating. The patrons have voted. And number one, the request was some limited edition merch. I've got two ideas for merch and giveaway, not giveaways, but like memorabilia that we'll be sharing with the patrons first and foremost. And then also a live event. So I think Dan and I will probably, we'll figure out when and where to do this live event. But I think it'll be fun if we could, interact. Maybe get one or two big star guests to pop in. Maybe we can finally have XQ.
I keep bumping into XQ on the road.
Me too.
He's got a new new whip there. All right, cool. Just one thing. I really wanted to mention this earlier, and it's unfortunate I waited until the end of the podcast, but I was listening to 6 Foot Weights, and they were talking about us. They were saying, no, I was listening to Dan and Phil. They were talking in their conversation about AI. They disagreed with us. They felt that it's not really that big a deal. It's not going to take your jobs. You don't have to worry. And I feel like you misunderstood us. What we were discussing, what we were debating rather with Phil was, can AI just do the job of a human? In general, no. But it can allow companies obviously to work with fewer people. And that was a debate if you listened. I was trying to say that, yes, the owners of companies and maybe top management are going to benefit because now I only need 3 people to do this job instead of 6. So that means 3 people have lost their jobs. Technically, I suppose it's because of AI, but more realistically, it's because tools have advanced to such an extent that people can be more, more efficient with their work. So it takes 3 people to do the work of 6 people previously. So yes, AI took your job. I think the point I was really trying to say is it's probably unlikely that AI will just do your job. And it's going to be unlikely for a while. And then if you recall, we had a debate about, is artificial general intelligence even ever possible? So it's just a clarification I wanted to put out there for the 6 Foot Weights and anyone who listens to them. Go check them out as well if you want to look for another Zimbabwean podcast. So yeah, so we're not saying that you don't have to worry. We're saying the work itself can't be done by AI, but because of it existing as a tool, people will lose their jobs, yes. Right?
Sure. This is seamless. Once again, 10 years of 2BT. 10 years.
Sorry, I just choked on my own words. On that note, we out. Oh, wait, Grims, please put that new Vaults and Bagger song. It's pretty lit.
Oh, I was going to play with Yamikani because we had an EP drop. Didn't even talk about
it. Oh, snap. Shout out to Yamikani and her EP. I haven't even listened to it yet. Okay. Put something from Yamikani instead of Vaults and Bagger. None of them are our friends. So, yeah. On that note, we out.
No, Vaults is kind of my friend. He did push my product last year.
Is he your friend? You've just met him.
I've got his number.
We all have his number. Do you know why we have his number, Phil?
Boy.
Because we were looking for him to get on the stage. On that note, we out.
Writings on a wall, underlined in all. If you need a friend or love, you know who to call. I promise there's no games, and I'm not ashamed to risk it all this time. Why you never were committed, and I really was addictive. Time when I called your name. Oh, I've been ready, now I'm steady waiting to go. If you just ask me to go, if you need me, I'll be willing. I'm not running from this feeling. If you call and tell me when, I promise I'll be ready. If you need me, I'll be willing. I'm not running from this feeling. If you call and tell me when, I'll be ready to go, ready to go, ready to go, to go. spare me the truth? How much should I? How much should I care for you? Would you say I'm wasting my time? Or am I making the best decision of my life? When I was committed, and it really was addictive. Time when I called your name, name, name. Oh, I've been ready, now I'm steady waiting to go. If you just ask me to go, if you need me, I'll be willing. I'm not running from this feeling. If you're calling, tell me when I promise.